few weeks ago, I preached on the subject of heaven. This morning I'm going to preach a little bit about the other side of that story, about there is a place. It's called Hail, and I want to entitle it A Journey Through the Halls of Hail. But before I do, before I read my scripture, I want to read you a message, a prophecy from David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson, everyone has heard about him, the book called The Cross and the Switchblade. David Wilkerson is the one who started all the teen challenges in New York City's where it first started in the late 50s, early 60s. And this man has been undoubtedly, I don't think there's any doubt in most Christians' hearts that this man has been a prophet. He has prophesied things that have come to pass in your generation and mine. The Lord has recently given him this on March the 7th of 2009. Now remember, he pastors a church now in New York City. And I want to read you what God showed him. Folks, now this sets the stage for my message this morning, because we're living in a day when the church is lethargic. The church is unconcerned. I'm not talking this about this church, but the whole church worldwide. It's unconcerned. Iniquity abounds everywhere. And Jesus is getting ready to come. I think you will see that this morning. But this man in this prophecy gives us a message. I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to send out an urgent message to all on our mailing list, and to friends and to bishops we have met all over the world. An earth-shattering calamity is about to happen. It is going to be so frightening, we are all going to tremble, even the godliest among us. For 10 years, I have been warning about 1,000 fires coming to New York City. It will engulf the whole metroplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut. Major cities across America will experience riots and blazing fires, such as we saw in Watts, Los Angeles, years ago. There will be riots and fires in cities worldwide. There will be looting, including Times Square. That's where his church is, Times Square in New York. What we are experiencing now is not a recession, is not even a depression. We are under God's wrath. In Psalms 11, it is written, and I want to read you that. But first, let me tell you something. On the national news media today, if someone like Dave Wilkerson and this message comes out and brings this bleak a picture, they'll always say, those fanatics are at it again. They don't know what they're talking about. But folks, I want to tell you something. We do know what we're talking about. Listen to it. In Psalms 11, it is written, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? God is judging the raging sins of America and the nations. He is destroying the secular foundations. In Psalms 11 and 6, David warns, upon the wicked he will rain snares, coals of fire, fire, burning wind will be the portion of their cup. Why? David answered, because the Lord is righteous, in verse number 7. This is a righteous judgment, just as the judgments of Sodom and in Noah's generation, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in the days of Noah. What shall the righteous do? What about God's people? I'm not reading all of this, but the main part I am reading. As for our spiritual reaction, we have but two options. This is outlined in Psalms 11. We flee like a bird to a mountain. Or as David says, he fixed his eyes on the Lord, on his throne in heaven, his eyes beholding, his eyelids testing the sons of men. Verse 4, in the Lord I take refuge. Verse number 1, I will say to my soul, no need to run, no need to hide. This is God's righteous work. I will behold our Lord on his throne, with his eye of tender loving kindness, watching over every step I take, trusting that he will deliver his people even through floods, fires, calamities, tests, trials of all kinds. Note, I do not know when these things will come to pass, but I know it is not far off. I have unburdened my soul to you. Do with this message as you choose. God bless you and keep you in Christ. David Wilkerson. I received this week, Brother Coy sent this to me, and having known of David Wilkerson and been in services with him, I have utmost confidence in this man as a prophet. Folks, I want to tell you, you and I are living on the verge of the brink of disaster, and many people will not yet accept that. We're living on the brink of the coming of the Son of Man, and a lot of people are just saying, you old fogies, you just don't know what you're talking about. But one day they will believe. It may be too late, but one day they will believe. Let's look into the Word of God this morning, Luke the 16th chapter, verse number 25. I just want to read this one verse out of this story today. Luke 16:25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Father, I ask you this morning to bless this service. I'm asking you, Lord, to give me words of wisdom and give me understanding and give us all open hearts and minds to receive. Father, anoint your servant today in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some journeys that I would like very much to take. I would love to go back to the Hawaiian Islands again and visit for a week or so, at least a couple of days. I would like to go back to Europe and to Israel again and travel through the Holy Land of Israel. I've been there twice, but I'd like to go again. I'd like to see some of these places all over again, but there is one journey I want to make clear that I don't want to make, and that is the journey to hell. Because once you go there, there's no return. There's no return from that place called hell. Now, I want you this morning, in your imagination, I want you to let your imagination go and let us go down the halls of hell and look in on a few people who are spending an eternity there. And I hope this morning that we all come to the conclusion, I am going to, from this moment forward, give my total life, self, my heart, my body, my everything to Jesus Christ, because I don't want to go to this place called hell. Let us notice today. Now, the angel escorts us on this journey to hell. As we enter hell, we hear the groans and the cries of the helpless souls. Now, just remember that not one of them came here without an opportunity to be able to say to God, God, I want to get right with you. I want my life right with you. Just remember that not one of them had to go to this place. Not one of them had to go to this place called hell, because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, Savior died upon a cross to save men from this. He died upon the cross to save you, neighbor, and you, and you, and you, and me, from this place called hell. God loved us so much that he gave his only son, his most prized possession, his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and be spit upon and be beaten and be mocked and be wounded and then to be crucified. The most hideous of all deaths is the death of dying on the cross. The most shameful of all deaths is the dying on the cross. It is a shameful death. In fact, the Bible says, cursed is every man who hangeth upon the cross. And I want us to look into this morning. So this Savior died that men would not have to go to this place called hell. Let us in. Let us in. We go down the hall and we hear a large group crying, let us in, let us in. The angel tells us these are those people who lived in the days of Noah. These were the wicked people of the whole world. The whole world had lost its bearing, as I mentioned a few weeks ago. The whole world had gone to violence. The Bible even said violence filled the earth. And it also said that God was sick at his stomach, and God repented himself that he had even made man. Man, the evil, the thoughts of his heart were continually evil. All the days of his life, man had so degenerated from the state in the garden when God placed Adam and Eve there in innocence, to this place of total rebellion against God, total lawlessness, rebelled to this place of total homosexuality and probably abortions and sexual sins of all different kinds. And we know that this happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said this was a wicked time. This was an evil time. But in the days of Noah, the people were wicked and their sins were very bad. God told Noah to build an ark to bring his family in. He said, Noah, I want you to build the ark, and I give you the dimensions, and I want you to know how to build it, and I'm going to give you time to build it. And he told the people that God would destroy the world by a fire. Noah began to build, and he began to preach, and he began to say, there is coming a flood. There had never rained before. He said, it's going to come a flood. It's going to rain upon the earth like the earth has never known anything about. And the floodgates of hell, the floodgates of the earth, of the underworld are going to open up. And there's going to come a flood that's going to engulf the highest mountain of the whole world. And so he began to warn the people, and the people laughed at him, saying, you old fool, we never heard such a thing. You just don't know what you're talking about, old man. We are not going to receive that. And you know, this reminds me a little bit about this day and time. People from the pulpits, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the different groups around the country and around the world are trying to warn people. And people are saying, why don't you just preach on heaven? Why don't you just preach on love? But friends, I'm telling you, we're in the days when judgment is getting ready to fall. And God says to his prophets, he said, prophesy, speak to the wind, speak to the church, speak to the world. Tell them that judgment is coming up on planet Earth. In Isaiah's day and Jeremiah's day, they didn't like their prophecy, and they slapped them and they put them in prison. They put them in an underground pit where Jeremiah was there and was in mud up to his waist, and his hands were bound. Why? Because he prophesied that judgment was coming. Folks, there's a lot of people who would like to take preachers like me this morning and like to silence us and silence our voices and say, we don't want any of that. That is not good. People don't want to hear that. But I'm here to tell you today, folks, we're living in the days of the coming of the Son of Man because the signs of the time are telling us explicitly. Just look at the world. Look at the financial condition, not just of America, but the whole wide world. Everyone's pointing at a finger and saying, it's you and it's your fault. It's Congress' fault. It's the president's fault. It's the Lyndon Institution's fault. It's AIG's fault. It's the Chinese fault. It's the Russians' fault. They're pointing a finger to try to get the blame off of themselves, but no one has an answer to the problem. This week I saw on national news where the Chinese and the Russians are trying to get the world organization, the United Nations organization, let's just go to a one world monetary system. Can I tell you that Bible prophesied that hundreds of years ago? There's going to be a world a currency. There's going to be a world number, which is just like a currency that no man can buy or sell unless he has the name or the number of the beast. And here's the number of the beast. Take note, 666, which is the number of a man. And God said, when you see these things come to pass, as we're today on national news and the international news, when the whole world is calling for a one world government. How many times lately in the last 2 or 3 years have you heard on the program and it would close this out by saying, globalize yourself? You remember? Right on TV, you might have just not paid that much attention to it, but it entered into the subconscious. Globalize yourself. In other words, what they're saying is, like our President Bush, the first President Bush said in the world, we need a one world government. We need a one world government, one world system. I thought back then, man, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. You're going right along with the world, leading us down the path. Right now, they're wanting the United Nations organization to be over all the monetary system of the world. Folks, we're living in those days, but I want us to see this group of people now, and then we're going to get on to several other people. They laughed at Noah. And they said, we've never heard of such a thing. But he went on preaching for 120 years. Prepare your heart. Get ready. For God is going to send a flood. And one day God said, come into the ark. Noah, the flood is coming. Noah and all the 8 members of his family entered into the ark. And 2 by 2, all the animals of the world entered into the ark. And there they entered in. And when they got in, God shut the door. God shut the door, and it began to rain, and the fountains of the deep were opened up, and the scoffers changed their mind, and they cried out, let us in, let us in. I started this segment by saying, let us in, let us in. Why were they crying, let us in? Because now they believed. Now the rain was coming down in sheets and torrents, and the fountains of the deep were breaking up, and this old globe was going to be covered in water. And they said, Noah, let us in, let us in, let us in. But he said, God shut the door, and I can't open it unto you. You see, they had 120 years to prepare and get ready for this, and they refused. So Noah said, God has shut the door. And these people send away their days of grace, their days of opportunity. Today, the true preacher preaches that judgment is coming. I'm telling you again this morning, they're not listening to us. They're not listening to us. Some of the congregation probably under the sound of my voice this morning, you haven't really been listening to Pastor Barron. But it's so stirring in this heart and this soul and this mind of mine. In 45, almost 50 years of ministry, since I started preaching in 1959 or 60, I have never sensed in my spirit and in my heart so strongly that God is saying, warn my people. Preachers, warn my people. Tell them to get up and to get busy and to get right with God, to get their hearts right with God, get the sin out of their lives. And I believe we need to recognize that, you know, that sometimes we have things in our heart. We have maybe ill will or bad feelings. We have hatred in our heart towards some brother, some sister, some parent, my mom, my dad, or my brother, or my sister. And you know, there's something there that's keeping us from having real peace of mind and heart. Maybe there's a lustful spirit in your heart. Maybe there is a greed in your heart. And you're lusting after someone's car, someone's property, someone's wife, something else. You're lusting after this out of a heart of greed. The Bible says all of this stuff has to come out. Folks, that's why I'm telling you today, we have to search our hearts and get right with God and get everything out in the open and say to God, God, I don't want to be like those people in Noah's day. Preachers are preaching that judgment is coming. But what are so many people doing today? They're scoffing, forgetting that they must face God, forgetting that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. In Noah's day, they would not repent. And in your day today, people are not repenting. They're not repenting. They're saying, these preachers don't know what they're talking about. You see, in our colleges and our universities today, they're calling us quacks. They're calling the Bible just some old book that's outdated. I was reading just the last week or two where someone wrote in ABC and didn't expect to get an answer back from them and began to tell them what the Bible said about what's going on and what the ABC had reported. ABC, that man did write him back and said, you just need to get out of that old archaic or whatever they call it, Bible, the word they use. You need to get out of that thing. That is so outdated, and you need to get into the real world. Yes, that's what they're telling us today in the intellectual realm is just forget about that old Bible. Forget about those old saints. Forget about that has been preached all of these years. But I'm here to tell you, folks, this is even according to the Bible. God said they won't listen, they won't hear. Though the prophets preach and though the preachers preach, people are not going to hear. They're not going to be stirred. They're not going to move from their lifestyle. When our whole financial system is crumbling around us, they're beginning to say, well, it'll bounce back, it'll bounce back, it'll bounce back. But no one seems to have an answer as to how it's going to bounce back. Folks, when they when they borrow us into oblivion by the trillions of dollars, and every family has to come up, what right today would have to come up with something like $107,000 for your family of four part to bail us out of our national debt today, and here in the next year they want to borrow $3.5 more trillion. I'm asking you folks, where in the world are our grandkids going to get the money to pay for these things? Yes, we're headed for a collapse, and today you can call me whatever you want to call me. But when I finish this morning, I will say, God, I delivered my soul and I delivered my heart, and I said what I felt like you wanted me to say. So we need to realize they're going to say, let us in. But Noah's going to say, Noah said, you had the opportunity, but it's too late. God shut the door. Then we go down the halls of hell and we see a man washing his hands. He screams in agony. His wife keeps on saying, I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. The angel tells me, this is Pilate. And the angel says, this is the man who stood there before Jesus that day. Jesus stood before Pilate, the governor. Pilate said, I can find no fault in this man. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Pilate should have let Jesus go because he found no fault in the man. But the crowd kept screaming and saying, crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to be over us and to be our king. And so what did Pilate do? He was ready to listen to people and show favor to the people than to do that which was right in the sight of God. So he let Jesus be led away to be crucified. Men have preferred the favor of the crowd to salvation from that day to this. They've said, well, we want people to like us. We want to work our way up the ramp, up the ladder. We want people everywhere to know who we are. We want to leave some kind of mark upon our generation, our society. We want someone to know who we are. But we fail to realize that God is saying, my people, come out from the world. Come out, come out, come out. Don't be a part of their disaster. Don't be a part of their punishment. Come out from among them and be separate. God is saying to the church and to the anyone who will listen today, he's saying, people of God, come out, come out, and get right and get everything squared away between you and God. I know the crowd says, come and drink with us and let's have a good time. Now, folks, our young people are having a bitter fight during high school and college days. Let's face it, they're having a bitter time. They've been taught that certain things are wrong. There's a lot of temptation to do wrong. There's a lot of temptation not to listen to the way they were taught. But you see, they were taught. They were told, children, listen, don't sin, don't get out into the things of the world. I thank God for our workers here among our young people, for Lisa and Randy and Christine and these people who work with our young people and these who are working with our children. Even this morning, Wendy's one of the best I have ever seen with children or known anything about. She has such an uncanny ability to come up with 3 months programs at a time for our children. Our bus workers and all of these, we're working, we're laboring together. But today, this pastor standing here today is one who loves you and one who's on the verge of tears this morning to tell you that disaster is coming and the church is going to leave here. The church is going to be protected. The church is going to find grace. They're going to find hope. They're going to find help. But too many people are wanting to forsake their roots. And God help our young people. Mom and Dad, know where your young people and especially your children are. Listen to me. Know where they are today and tonight, because they're being taken into some side room, some ballpark, some YMCA, some whatever the other one is, and they're being molested. They said you can hide them. These people who say that we can't get to their children, they just don't know the half. Said we'll get them in the ballparks, we'll get them in the recreation halls, we'll get them on trips wherever we find them, and we will molest them, and they will become one of us, and all they need is to be exposed to homosexuality, and that is a spirit, and many times it transfers, and they can't get it out of their mind. They can't get it out of their spirit. They can't get it out of their heart. It is like a devil that gets in there and draws them and pulls them into that lifestyle. I'm here to tell you, know where your kids are at all times. Only a wise parent, will always know where his son and where his daughter, where his children are. So we hear the people inhale. Listen to this. Lazarus, when there he looked up and he thought about this place, and he was in this place called hell. Not Lazarus, but the rich man. And Abraham said, we cannot come to you, nor can you come to us. And so, realizing there was no help for him, he thought of his five brothers. And he said, send Lazarus to my brothers and let them repent. You see, folks, the point I want to get out here is this. We see that the people in hell are interested in the people on earth. We don't know what's going on down there, but you see, those people who have gone to hell, they realize they're in trouble now. There's no hope for them, so they're saying, somebody help my brothers and sisters on earth, lest they've come to this place of despair. They have an interest in us. They have an interest in our family members. And so we need to take it, and we need to get everything, do everything that we can to see that our sons and our daughters and our brothers and our sisters are saved. If those people could speak to you today, they would warn you to repent of your sins. The rich man could have been saved, but he didn't repent and he went to hell. How do we know he went to hell? Jesus said he went to hell. He told a story, and some people said it was just an allegory, it was just a story. No, never in one of these allegories did Jesus ever call people by name, but he said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and there was a man named Abraham. There were people called by name. This was a story. Jesus said there was a certain rich man and a certain beggar, and the beggar's name was Lazarus. And here in hell, he's in torment now. And he's saying, I'm tormented in these flames. And he's saying over and over again, brother, 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 someone help my brother, lest he come to this place. They're screaming, they're praying, they're crying today. And there's no hope, no help for those people who are in the place of the departed spirits. Then we hear, I have betrayed innocent blood. We go down the hall and we hear a man crying, I have betrayed innocent blood. An angel tells us this is Judas who betrayed Christ. Matthew 26:14-16. Jesus selected this man, and Judas walked with him, and he heard his wonderful words and he saw his wonderful miracles. This man, Judas, walked with Jesus Christ. He was even given the permission to be the treasurer. He carried the money bag for the whole group of 12 of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Here this man had the money bag. But I want you to notice something, folks. He didn't want to go to hell, but he wound up in hell because his heart was not right. Now, I want this part to soak in. His heart was not right. He had walked with Jesus. He had talked with Jesus. He had been with him on the road. And now I found in the scripture where it said, because he was a thief. He wanted that money bag. He wanted that money bag, but he was the thief. He wound up in hell because his heart was not right. Now there's a great lesson here that I wanted to bring out this morning before I close. A great lesson that I want us to notice here. You can go to church faithfully, you can serve well, you can give generously, and still be lost. Hear this, pastor, today. You can still be lost. You see, lost because your heart is not right with God. I'm going a little slow right now because I want this to soak into every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place today. You can have your name on every church roll from here to California, and that won't take you to heaven. It will not save you. Simply making a confession and being baptized and joining a church does not make the heart right. There has to be a change on the inside. It has to be a heart change. It has to be an inner change. By the way that some people live and act and talk, you know that they have not had an experience with God. You listen to a lot of people the way they talk. Oh, they go to church every Sunday morning, but the filthy jokes they tell and the innuendos and the sexual sins and their mind and their voice and their words and their actions and their deeds speak so much louder. And you know, there's not something changed on the inside. They're with the wrong crowd. They have the wrong attitude. They go to the wrong places. They have their name on the church roll. They've even been baptized. But folks, that is not going to take a person to heaven. We have to come out from among the world and be changed according to the Bible. The Bible tells us that. If Judas had repented, Jesus would have forgiven him, but he didn't repent. He did not repent. Therefore, we must leave him in hell, where he's continually crying, "I have betrayed innocent blood. I have betrayed innocent blood." You know, probably throughout all eternity, that man Judas, who had an opportunity and he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. But throughout all eternity, he's probably going to be muttering those words, "I have betrayed innocent blood, and there's not a thing I can do about it." You see, he went out and hanged himself, the Bible said, and he fell headlong, and his insides burst open on that potter's field that day. He went to hell, lost without God. Why? His heart was not right. He had not had a heart change. In closing, friends, without Christ, there will be nothing for you to hold on to in the hour of your death. Without Christ. Let me just say again, we were reminded just this week how quickly 4 people can be taken out into eternity. And a second before it happened, they didn't have any idea they were leaving this world that quickly. I say this. I like to travel anytime I can on 4-lane divided highways, because when you're on a 2-lane highway like we have here, as busy as this is to Fort Smith, you're 4 feet and sometimes less from death every time you pass a car. And if you're going 65 miles an hour and that fella's coming to you at 65, you hit head on, you're going 130 miles an hour, and there's not much hope for a person under those kind of conditions. We never know. That person's going to sleep. That person's looked down to check his telephone. He's been on drugs or he's been on alcohol. We never know. And yet we pass them every day, 4 feet from death, 4 feet from eternity. And we need to realize that in the time when we die, you have nothing to hold on to but Jesus Christ. You will simply sink into hell. But Jesus stretches out his hand to you today. He loves you and he wants to save you. He invites you to come and find peace, inner peace. Now somehow, as I wrestled with the message, I studied and I had a harder time than I normally did getting a message for this service. But I studied and the Lord drew me to this subject. And I said, "God, we need to see somebody saved in this service. Save somebody. It would be something if we could have 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 people saved in this service this morning." Ladies and gentlemen, we're living on the brink of disaster, and many people are closing their eyes. It's like they've buried their heads in the sand, and they don't want to believe it. They don't want to think. None of us really want to think that this is coming to pass. But folks, it's unraveling right before our very eyes. Right before our eyes. And this morning, Jesus is coming for the church. The church is going to leave here. They will know that we were right when we're gone, the old song used to say. They will know we were right, that which we've been telling them for all these years. They say it's not true, it's not going to happen, but they're going to know we're right when we're gone. What we've been preaching for so long, they're going to believe then, because you see, there's going to be hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth missing from around this old globe. And several billion people left behind, and they're going to say, "Where did they go?" Well, they went home to be with Jesus.
They heard the trumpet sound and the dead came out of the graves. And the righteous sitting in church like this on Sunday morning in Howe, Oklahoma, they were changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And they rose rose up to meet them in the clouds, in the air, to be with Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning, the desire of my heart is to see everyone go to heaven. The desire of my heart is to see this congregation this morning, everyone here, go to heaven. Lord, I don't know how it is with some the hearts and the lives of this place. But Lord, this morning I want to give them an opportunity to get right. I want to give them an opportunity to pray and have a change of heart. God, please help us today. Have mercy upon us today. While no one is looking around this morning, I want to ask you, neighbor, if you're here, you've been thinking about going to church and getting right with God. You've been thinking about changing your way of living, having a change of heart. You don't want to go to hell. No one wants to go there where the fire is burning and souls are screaming and crying for someone to please help them and there's no help forthcoming. You don't want to go there. No one does. That's why over 50 years ago, I heard a preacher preach on hell and I decided I don't want to go to that place. I fell in love with Jesus. Jesus fell in love with me. He put me in his family, wrote my name in his book. Today, if you're here without Jesus and you're not a Christian, would you just slip up your hand by that, say, Brother Barron, please pray for me. I'm not ready to meet God. Everyone hold steady. This is a very crucial moment. You just slip up that hand. You don't have to speak a word right now. Just say by that uplifted hand, Brother Barron, please pray for me. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. How about it this morning? As the governor so many years ago said to Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, almost is not good enough. That man went to hell because he was just almost persuaded. You have to be not only almost, but altogether persuaded. And you have to take a stand. You have to take a step. You have to come boldly before the throne of God and confess your sins and your lifestyle and say, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. Write my name down in your book. How about it this morning? While we wait just a little longer, you just say by an uplifted hand, Brother Barron, please pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not ready to meet God. I think we're all aware this morning that the word has been preached. And I want you to take this message home with you. I want you to sleep on it. I want you to meditate on it. Would you stand? The last thing I'm going to ask us to do this morning while you're standing, I'd like for everyone, start here at the front and move down around these altars and just stand. Come on. Come on, let's do it as a body today. It won't cost you anything. Just come and stand. Those first ones down, come in front of the altars if you would, making more room. Wonderful congregation today. You're beautiful people. I don't want to see a one go to hell from this congregation. We're going to do something this morning in this final prayer that I feel like doing. We've done this before, but I'm going to ask us all to pray together. This prayer, I'm going to lead And I want you to pray this prayer with me, if you would. I appreciate you coming down. And as soon as we prayed this prayer, this will be also dismissal. You can go. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody, would you do it? Heavenly Father, come into my heart afresh and anew. Cleanse me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Forgive me of all my sins. Let there be peace in my heart. I want a change of heart. I want a change of attitude. I want my name written down in your book. I want to be your child. I want to be your servant. And when I die, I want to go to heaven. When the rapture takes place, I want to go. And I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And I give you my heart today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you today for this crowd, for this good congregation. I thank you for the families and for the homes. Lord, I just pray that you'd go with this congregation, go with each of us to our place. Protect us, keep us in your grace and in your love. Lord, bring us back to this house tonight with desire to love you and to serve you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.